Thursday evening late show. Thanks for listening. With you until 9. Looking forward to having a fun show. Some fun guests. Here on The Good Neighbor. I saw a story and some commentary from Deion Sanders, one of the greatest football players that we've ever seen. I believe he's the best cornerback that I've ever seen play. Unbelievable player, okay? And we know that he is currently the head coach at the University of Colorado on Boulder, the Buffaloes. And this past year, or last two couple of years, he had his son as the quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, and Travis Hunter, who is, they're both likely to go top 10. We definitely know that Travis Hunter is going to go top 3. Phenomenal football players. But as college students, Deion Sanders made a comment about them and them not necessarily going to class. And the comment that he made was, quote, "Ain't none of them on campus because things have changed. Everybody's taking classes online and they graduate. Shedeur has never taken a class on campus in his whole college career. Shiloh may have, that's his other son, at South Carolina, but I don't remember Travis ever being on campus as well." When I hear that, I'm not disappointed for them. That's their experience. And I know that a Shedeur Sanders and a Travis Hunter, famous people, famous athletes, their college experience is going to be different from each and every one of us. But with that being said, there's a difference in my mind, in my opinion, between going to college and getting a degree. Like, there's a difference between the two, because one is obtaining the degree. The other one is actually participating in the experience. And I am somebody, son of an educator, somebody that worked in education for years. I believe that the experience matters. I think that actually being in the classroom, the social dynamics of being in the classroom, interacting with your professor, and not just a screen with your computer, I think that those things make you a better human being. It makes you more well-rounded. And I don't think that that's really debatable, right? 651-461-9226. Is there anybody out there that thinks differently with regards to the college experience or getting that degree? And I am not shunning people that aren't in the classroom. Everybody's situation is different. And I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, look, when you look at Shedeur Sanders and him being Deion's son and him being a high-profile athlete, that of course his experience is going to be different. And I'm not even shunning just the average person out there, Joe Johnson or Carolyn Williams, for getting an online degree. But I guess my point is that I don't think that the being in the classroom, connecting with the professor, being amongst your peers, I think that there's a lot of things that rub off on you in that way that you just won't be able to get online. So I'm all about the experience and not just about the online thing. And I think that, like, the online thing, I think it's different for different age groups. I think it's one thing to be an older person and you want to get an advanced degree or get a degree, right? And you have been in the workplace and you have a job, you have kids. That's different than if a person is 18 or 19 or 20 and they truly have that opportunity to interact with people face to face. That's just me. And I'll be the first to say, I have thought about going and wanting to get an advanced degree, to get a master's. I guess I could go the online route, I haven't put in enough, I guess, research or effort into looking at what the time construction is going to look like for me. Because we all have lives to live. I have a job and stuff like that. I could probably make it work. I just got to find that time. But what do you make of this? What was your college experience like for you, Chris? Because for me, I think back to those days of being in the classroom. And this is, you know, I hate to do the back in my day. Mm-hmm. But back when we were in school, there wasn't any online, any of that. Like, that's a reality now. That was not a reality back in the 80s and 90s.
I think it's all what do you want to get out of college? Do you want to experience things, you know, in person and meet people and, you know, do things that you haven't kind of find yourself? Or are you there basically, is it a bridge between now and where you want to go? Like a lot of athletes, like I said to you before we started, what was the old Cardell, the Ohio State quarterback, Cardell Jones or something?
Mm-hmm.
Where
Cordell
it's like, Jones. Cordell Jones, I ain't come to play school, which I understand. Like, if they're doing the work, even if they're not, they're going to find a way to get the grades and then they're going to move on because they want to play in the NFL. You know, as for me, I love doing everything in person. I love being part of student government. I love, you know, being able to find new things and try new things and meet new people from all over. I will say that I actually went back to I went back to college 10 years after I graduated from North Dakota State to get my business management degree. So I've got, you know, I've got my communications and you know, English and whatnot. But yeah, I went back and I took online classes because I was married, I had a child, and then moved from the cities to Sioux Falls. And I mean, I was working full time there and still did the online. And you figure out ways to make it work. But I definitely understand that if you want to get from one place to another and you've already got it planned out, then you've got no interest in making friends.
But the reason why this comes up, though, is I think there are people out there wrongly that will think that if you've obtained the degree, if you got the certificate, that is just enough. Like, I have the information. And that's one thing to me. That's separate than the experience of living out here in the world. Because to me, there are people, they can be book smart. There are people that are street smart. There are people that are a combination of both. There are just certain things that can be lost when you don't interact with people. Like, for instance.
But some people don't want that.
No, I get that. But it doesn't make you a well-rounded person is my point. There are people that think that they are the greatest with regards to education. And they write books about education and what should happen and what shouldn't happen. But they've never been in a damn classroom. And to me, like, I'm not sure that I'm just going to listen to somebody talk about being the best educator in the world, and they've got all these different damn degrees, but they've never interacted with a child.
You need the hands-on experience. Because
well,
that
you need
definitely
all of
adds,
it. Yeah, I think you need all of it. 651-461-9226. And look, I get it. I know that, you know, Deion Sanders' kid, that's one thing. And look, athletes, high-profile athletes, the experience is going to be different. But for me, I think about the college days, and you look back at it now, some of the best time of your life.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you know, people go in there like, oh, man, enjoy the college years because there's some of the – you don't know what the best days of your life are until you can look back on them.
Yeah. Hey, B, make sure that you're listening throughout the remaining portion of the show because our friends – at the Minnesota Ice Festival, are giving away a winter staycation. Go to WCCORadio.com/contest and click on the Minnesota Ice Festival staycation contest link for your chance to score a one-night stay for up to four at the Hampton Inn in Eagan, plus a $100 gift card for your group to the restaurant Burgers and Bottles. For all the details and to enter, go to WCCORadio.com/contest. Your thoughts, your perspective. Coming up next year, 651-461-9226 on The Lake Show. All right, welcome back to The Lake Show, 651-461-9226. The text line went in, and they pretty much are on the same page with me from the 612. I agree with you again. In the same vein, my child was in daycare since he was an infant. That gave him social skills, interaction with human beings. He turned out better for it. That from the 612, from the 952. I work in a place that has many people who are book smart but have never been in the real world. Ouch. They don't know very basic life skills, much less interpersonal skills. It's sad for them and a royal pain for the rest of us.
Dunning-Kruger effect.
That's not.
No, see, college for me was a chance to really learn my independence. It was a chance for me to figure out how can I function as a semi-rational adult, because you experience things, and guess what? You have to learn. You can either let yourself go in this direction or that direction. You learn so many skills. But again, I feel like it's, you know, what do you want to gain out of it? I think if you want to get from point A to point B in the quickest way possible, then you're going to do the absolute, you know, bare bones to get where you need to be. I loved college.
And there were just certain things, like with my college experience, that were different than maybe your college experience. So like, for instance, one of the things at Morehouse, one rule is, as a freshman, you have to live on campus. There is no you can live off campus as a freshman. Every freshman have to live on campus, number one.
I like that rule. I like that rule a lot.
Every freshman cannot have a car. Your freshman year, you don't have a car. And Atlanta's a pretty big city.
Yeah, it is.
You can't have a car.
Do they have a lot of public transportation?
Well, yeah, the MARTA is unbelievable. Like, okay. You know, you got buses, you got the rail system and all that stuff, whatever. But that was part of it. They were like, the camaraderie between you and your Morehouse brothers is that you travel in packs, you find out and learn your way around Atlanta, Georgia, and surrounding areas. You don't get to drive that freshman year. You aren't off campus that freshman year. You are all together because that is what is a part of the Morehouse experience. And I love that. Part of it was, too, that, look, when you get there, that you are part of a brotherhood. You are going to follow in the footsteps of Martin Luther King Jr. You are going to follow in the footsteps of Maynard Jackson.
So they stress community.
You are going to follow in the footsteps of Spike Lee. You are going to follow in the footsteps of Edwin Moses. You are going to follow in the footsteps of Samuel Jackson. It was ingrained in you with all of these people. And sometimes those people will pop up on campus unannounced. And you'd be in awe. Not clear. Martin Luther King wasn't one of the ones that I met.
Right. But I know what you mean.
You get the point that I'm making.
But, yeah, like, I know what you mean.
But that's part of the experience. So to me, that just makes for that college experience.
Yeah. I never understood, you know, when you get there and it's like I instantly want to detach myself from everybody else. It's like when I got there, my first year on campus, I ended up spending all 5 years on campus because I got into student government my sophomore year. I was Churchill Hall residence hall president for a couple of years and then got into student government. So I learned a lot of things along the way. And I love that they said you have to live on campus, because it might not seem that way at the time. God, looking back on it, yeah, it's just so many things that people told me they make sense. You're going to have plenty of time for living on your own and dealing with your bills and doing all of these other things. You're going to have all of those opportunities later. Like, really take advantage of what is gifted to you in front of you, and build off of that. And I think if you can just take what they're trying to give you as a foundation, I think that only helps, you know, to enhance your college experience.
When you think back to your college experience, what are some of the things that stood out for you?
Watching Bison football shirtless in the Fargo Dome in the playoffs.
So wait, you were on campus for no years?
5 years.
Oh, for all 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
All 5 years.
Yep,
okay.
Yep, all 5 years. First year, you know, Yeah, like again, my sophomore and junior years, hall president, and then secretary, treasurer, and then I was just, you know, I did the 5 year out. What were you asking? What were some of my?
I mean, was there anything that kind of stood out? Because like everybody's college experience is different. Because everybody, the college mm-hmm. institution that you go to is different.
Yeah.
But like for me at Morehouse, one of the things that we had to do, and there was like a roll call that they had, not a roll call, but they checked in on you, was we had to go to chapel. Like the first day that you got there, you know, you arrived at the Martin Luther King Jr. Chapel, mm-hmm. and you had to, like, there were services you had to go through throughout the year, and it was just part of your experience.
Oh, wow.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Even when you moved off campus. Like
if you're still a part of, like, no. Mandatory.
No, what I'm saying is there were mandatory times when you had to be at chapel. It didn't matter even if you were a sophomore, or junior, or senior, whatever, and you were off campus, you better make your way back to campus and be a part of chapel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we didn't have anything like that. One thing that I did enjoy is I was in a position of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to – one thing I really did enjoy is helping the new kids get acclimated because it can be intimidating. You know, you don't know – who to ask, you know, what to do. You're just, there's all of these things. And I always enjoyed being part of a welcoming committee, going there, you know, going back to campus a week early and coordinating with everybody else. I always enjoyed trying to make the transition easier for individuals that maybe you knew were going to have a little bit of a hard time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did. I would have to say that was probably one of the most rewarding things.
I can't imagine ever not living on campus, you know, missing out on opportunities on Friday afternoons when you're just kind of out and about and randomly you see Tupac walking through campus.
Yeah, he was.
And you're like, what?
Yeah, Tupac wasn't running around Fargo.
Or you're on the grounds of Spelman College, right? You're on the other side. You're past the gates. Mm-hmm. And you're walking around, and they got the DJ on the Friday. And who do you see? You see Emmanuel Lewis. Yes, Webster.
Oh.
Webster himself, the actor, standing there. You're like, is that – hold on. Is that a little – that's Webster. Because he was a student at Clark Atlanta University, even though he was much older than us.
Yeah.
I mean, this is cool stuff.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we would have had former Buffalo Bill defensive end Phil Hansen that would – you know, if we were lucky, he'd be roaming through Menard Hall. But, yeah, other than that – you win in terms of the
cool factor.
In terms of the cool factor,
yeah,
I would say Atlanta, you know, a little bit better than Fargo. I still love Fargo. Fargo's always going to have a special part.
Don't disrespect Fargo.
I know. I love Fargo. You don't like Fargo, we'll put you in a wood chipper.
Oh, man.
You betcha, you know.
Hey, coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And I got to talk about pets for a second because I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about my dear friend and her dog. I'll explain next year on the Lake Show. All right, welcome back to the Lake Show. Hopefully this will be or serve as a little bit of an intervention, but I'm going to need your assistance at 651-461-9226. I have a dear friend. She is amazing. She's awesome. I'm not going to name her, even though I will say to her, happy birthday. Today's her birthday. She is an amazing human being, a dear friend of mine. But I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about her. Okay, I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about my friends. And let me explain, okay? And then you guys can weigh in here in a minute. My friend, roughly about a year ago, I think it's about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer, but roughly right around a year ago, got a dog, okay? The most adorable dog ever, okay? Love her dog. And so, like, it was supposed to be, like, I guess her son, it was going to be his dog. But she's basically, like, she's taken over. Like, it's her dog.
That's what parents do.
I've said this to her. And she knows that she's went ahead. She's accepted it. She's like, no, it's our dog, but it's really, it's my dog. All right? So she makes these adorable videos of her dog, right? Super cool dog. Beautiful looking dog. And so I think it's, like, super cool. And she'll post video reels on Instagram and stuff like that, whatever. And I just love everything about it. Well, earlier this week, she posted a video. And there was something about the dog that I didn't know. And she posted a video about the dog, and because she had acquired or bought something for the dog to, like, lay on or whatever. But then she referred to the dog, and she said the family's last name after saying the dog's name. And I was like, whoa. Did she just give the last name of the family to the dog? And I said, whoa. That's not a thing. That can't be a thing. Now, full transparency, I've never owned a pet. Okay? So I'll be the first to say that. Now, am I wrong to think it's a little bit odd? Now, I'm not trying to come across as super judgmental, but I'm going to be judgmental. Okay? That's just how I'm going to be for this segment. Giving your pet a last name, where are we at with that? I'm not saying that you can't do it. I'm not saying that that is unacceptable. Is it odd? I think it's a little odd. It's just me. 651-461-9226. You have had multiple cats.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
You gave them the last name Tubbs?
We didn't give it to them. They just assumed it. Like when a pet comes into your house.
No, hold on. How is that a thing? You either gave them the last name or you didn't.
It's the animal, when it comes into your house and becomes a member of your family.
Yep.
It's looked at as a child. It just assumes that it's not like you're knighting it.
So now we're doing so.
It's not like you're like Elton John and you're being knighted. You know, it's not like I hereby give my kitty cat a last name of Tubbs. And
We're not going to do the child thing here. We're not going to do that. It's a member of the family. I get that.
Yes. But when you go to vets, they have the name mm-hmm. of the animal, mm-hmm. but they also put it under the last name. Like when we get our vet statements, yeah, it has our cat's name and our last name.
Did you ever call your cat by the full name?
Only when he does something wrong.
Wait, what's your cat's name?
We've got two of them. The boy is Chandler and the girl is Tira.
So wait, you refer to your cat as Chandler Tubbs? No, you don't. Don't even lie. So hold on.
No, I don't.
People don't do that. People do not do that.
They do. I'll take it one step further. Middle names. We give pets middle names. Our pets have middle names.
People, I have never seen a person give mm-hmm. a full name for a pet. And I'll say this, and I know that I haven't owned a pet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the concept of that for pets. I'm going to tell you why.
A last name or a middle name?
The last name. I hadn't even heard about the middle name, but that I'll take your word for it. But this is my thing. 651-461-9226. I think the uniqueness in pets is that they have a name and just one name. So when I think about pets, right, dogs, cats, whatever, I view them as the rock stars of the family. I view them as the rock stars of the family, okay? Because of their uniqueness, right? It's not an actual, like, you're real, like a real child. Like, it's a pet, okay? But this is the thing that I like about it. The uniqueness of it is the one name, almost like Beyonce. Almost like Madonna. Like, I call Beyonce Beyonce. I don't say that it's Beyonce Knowles. No one refers to her last name. No one knows Madonna. What's Madonna's last name? No one even knows what Madonna's real name is. So in my opinion, it seems a little bit odd with the whole last name thing for a cat or pet. Is it extreme? Do you guys out there give your pets your last name? Am I the one that's making it weird? 651-461-9226. You wanted to expound on a point before we get to phone calls here in a second.
Oh, I was just going to say that people, you adopt these pets and you fill out all of the forms and they are given the last name. It's assumed. And then there are a lot of people that do give them middle names. Therefore, they are talked to and about like they are our human members.
Let me clarify for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know this and I know this. No one cares about the documentation. We're not talking about like when you're when you, no one cares about that. We're talking
about cats are documented. No, okay? Just, no, they're not illegals.
But my point is that in just an average conversation in from one day to the mm-hmm. next, you're not talking about what any documentation is. If your dog's name is, I'll give you a perfect example. Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine has two amazing dogs. He lives in Kansas City. The names are just based on how the dogs look and their color, right?
Okay.
One is called Marshmallow. One is called Oreo.
Okay.
You're not calling the dog Oreo Ryan last name is Ryan.
Well, no. You don't do that in your house. You don't do it ever.
You don't do it ever. And I don't care about documentation. That's just not a real thing.
Just because you don't say their last name doesn't mean it's not implied. The last name is implied.
You don't have to imply, like, we know that it's a member of the family.
Man, yes.
Last names don't exist with pets. Man.
They do. Last names, right, last names and middle names.
Let's take some phone calls. 651-461-9226. Let's go to Janet in Minnetonka. How you doing, Janet?
I'm well, thank you. And, you know, I've had dogs all my life, and I'm almost 75.
Okay.
So my dogs always have my last name.
Okay.
And like he said, the vet records, if you look at my dog's vet records, it'll say Violet, K9, and then my last name. Or Archie, K9, and my last name.
Do you
that
call?
That is how you, they are recorded. And
I'm not talking. I'm not.
Part of my family.
Uh-huh. But Janet, just like I just referenced, there's a difference between documentation and what you actually do. You call your dogs by their first and last names when you're out and about or you're with friends?
No, but I don't call my kids by their first and last names or my grandkids by their first and last names when I'm out and about with friends. But they still have my last name.
No, but what I'm saying is my friend, they call the dog by they reference the last name. I think she hung.
Well, you know,
she's still there.
If I were to call the vet and make an appointment for one of my dogs,
mm-hmm.
I would give my name and I'd say I'm calling about Archie and my last name.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I get that. And thanks for the phone call from Janet in Minnetonka. Like, there's a difference between. Let me be clear about this. I think that there is a difference between when we're talking about documentation or making appointments in just an everyday casual conversation.
Yeah, everyday casual like, conversation.
We're not making that one in the same.
No, I don't call my cat Chandler Tubbs or Tira Tubbs. Now, my wife and my daughter, who have given them middle names, they will call them by their first and middle names. Chandler James or Tira Rose. That is something that we do within the house, but we never refer to them in the third person using the last name. And kind of like, you know, kind of like she was saying that when you don't refer to, you know, members of your family, you don't mention their last name in casual conversations. So, yeah, it's not something most pet owners do is to refer to them with their first and their last names. But yeah, they do have a last name.
Oh, we got plenty of people weighing in on it.
They do have a last name. It's just not talked about in casual conversation.
My first pet fish was Jock Jones. Oh, for the 952, Henry, our cats have middle names and they have our last name too. Henry, this is not unusual at all. At the vet, the groomer, etc. From Jan in Greenwood. Hi, H. Lake and Tubbs. That's totally cray cray to give your pets your last name. She said it's totally cray cray.
Things are off the rails when Jan tells us that we're cray cray. I love Jan. She's so cool. She's so cool.
I love Jan. This from the 612, talk about weird. I have friends with a cat. The cat not only shares their last name, but also has its own Facebook page.
Yes.
Well, hold up. We do
have people that do have social media accounts for their animals.
I think that Nadine Babu does.
Nadine, yes.
Nadine Babu, she had one for Goldie.
Yes, she did.
For the longest time.
Yeah.
And we love Nadine.
We love Nadine's. Nadine's awesome, too.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think it's weird. It's if you are out in public, it's like referring to yourself in the third person. Because I don't talk about my, hey, Hannah Tubbs or Kimberly Tubbs. Like, I just say, hey, Kim, Hannah. The same thing that I would talk about my pets. I don't ever talk about their last names when I'm talking about them. I mean,
so wait. So what's the name of your cats?
Chandler James and Tira Rose.
When somebody asks the name of one of your cats,
mm-hmm.
You just say the first name, right?
Yeah, I just say the first name.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Of course you do. You just proved my point. You just proved my point.
No, I didn't.
Yes.
We used, just because you don't say it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Okay? What? We use it around the house.
You call him Prince Rogers Nelson. Everybody else calls him Prince.
Yes. I'll call him whatever the hell I want to call him.
651.
Not the boss of me.
461-9226. More texts, more phone calls. Next. Uh-oh. I think I'm in trouble. 651-461-9226. I'm not in trouble on the text line. I think I'm in trouble with my actual friend. She has called in. First off, I want to say happy birthday, Natalie.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you. This is too fun.
All right, so give your side of the story.
I mean, look. I have the cutest dog in the world. Her name is Emmy. She is a Samoyed. And I always thought that I was supposed to have a little girl named Bianca Bennett Bushaw, and instead I had twin boys. So now I have this cute, fluffy, white girl named Emmy.
She's beautiful.
She now has the middle name Bianca. I needed to get it in somewhere. And her last name is Bushaw. So I do call her Emmy Bushaw, or if she's outside and I need her to come inside,
no,
then
don't.
I say Emmy Bianca Bushaw.
No, you don't. No, you
so
don't.
I do. I absolutely do. Absolutely. And not in like a stern, like you're in trouble way, more just like Emmy Bianca Bushaw, because it flows so nice.
You know that fun. You know that Emmy only responds to Emmy. Emmy doesn't respond to the last name. Emmy doesn't care about the last name.
I mean, she really probably doesn't. It's probably just me because I like how it sounds. So you are true on that. But I do, like, I think of her as Emmy Bushaw. She is, like, she does have a first, middle, and last name.
All right, so now, did I correctly tell the story about Emmy, though? Like, you basically took Emmy from your kids?
I think that's sort of true. Emmy, Logan, my son, was walking the dog. The dog's owner passed away and wanted Logan to have the dog. So,
hold on, Natalie. You never told me the story of how you got Emmy. So tell me that story on here.
Yeah. So Logan, our son Logan, he wanted a dog. We didn't. I wanted him to get exercise and get outside. And just out of the blue, got the way God worked, we got a friend of the owner of the dog said, hey, would Logan be up for walking a dog? And formed a great relationship with Emmy the dog and a great relationship with Emmy's owner. And Emmy's owner got sick and a little sicker and sicker and knew she was going to pass away at some point. And we were able to kind of get acclimated to having a dog. We've never owned a dog. And all of a sudden, she did pass away, and we had a decision to make, and it was at that point a no-brainer. And now, Emmy, I cannot, as of today, 51, imagine my life without this dog. She has changed our world. And so she had to have a last name. She had to have her last name.
I love your dog. Your dog is, like, adorable. And it was funny because when I saw, like, your dog is probably the most spoiled pet on planet Earth right now. You know that, right?
I mean, I don't. Yeah. I don't know. I'm learning a lot about dog owners or dog parents and how much they play a role in, like, I don't know. I can't say that for sure, but I mean, I do share it a lot on Instagram, so it probably seems
you think a lot. Of course you do. Of course you do. Is there anything? I think that today, with today being your birthday and happy birthday again, I think that Emmy is going to have a better day than you're going to have.
I mean, she does have her own birthday cake flavored dog treats, if that means anything.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Let me ask you this: when is Emmy the happiest?
Oh, well, she just always seems happy, but I bet any dog or, well, probably dog parent would say, when you walk in the door mm-hmm. from wherever you are, that wagging tail and that look that they give you is literally like nothing that you even get from your kids. Maybe when they're like two, but beyond that, it just really doesn't happen. So yeah. What a dog brings in that happiness in the wagging of the tail is yeah. just truly, truly beyond comprehension, I think.
Well, before I let you go, I think that the happiest that I've ever seen Emmy on your Instagram is when you're feeding Emmy popcorn.
She does love popcorn. That's true. She does love, and they don't really, this type of dog doesn't really rule very much, but I'm telling you what, when you pull out that bag of popcorn, you got to make sure that you like have a napkin on your lap or something.
Hey, Natalie, thanks for calling in, and happy birthday again.
Thanks, Henry. I can't wait to see you soon.
All right, take care. That's Natalie checking in. And yes, this is how this entire topic came to be. Hey, let's take one more phone call. We're running out of time. We're up against the clock. The bottom line is, I'm sorry. I disagree with Natalie, and I disagree with Chris.
Well, I mean, that's fine. You can disagree with us, but you're not a pet owner. We are.
That's true.
You're wrong. We're right.
I can't. That's not how it works.
No, that's how it works.
No, that's not
how it works. With pets, that's how it works.
So everybody that has kids, they're just the authorities on all things that happen in society with human beings that do things from one.
Have you met your soon-to-be vice president? Yeah, that's right.
Here you go. Anyway, what do we think about the Minnesota Vikings? Well, I don't say coming up short. They didn't even come close. One and done in the postseason. They make it to the postseason. They are kicked to the curb in the first round. Matthew Collar, all things Minnesota Vikings football, he joins us next.